Welcome back to the podcast, Just These Guys You Know.
And on today's show, we're going to have a special episode, How to Get A Performance Out of B and C Employees.
Oh, well, I can tell you right now that I'm pleased to report there are no B and C employees that I work around. Just get that out there right now.
And you
That's
can,
interesting.
You can chime in on this because of the fantastic staff at Grace Point that just blows the doors off of
man
any service. Easter was incredible. You know, people flowed in and out of the building smoothly.
Yep.
Don't even know how important that is and how hard that is to accomplish.
Yes.
Lighting was, you know, spot on.
Yeah.
Sound was B-red. Excellent. And not the, you know, we haven't got to the band who.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need their own album.
It's so true.
I told you the version of the Johnny Cash song they did was 10 times better than the Johnny Cash version.
Yep.
Because we were in there just in a rock and roll zone listening to that. And when we left, Tish pulled it up on the radio on the phone.
Oh, cool.
The original Johnny Cash version. And I'm like, oh, no. Yeah. No, get that. I don't want that in my head.
Yeah. They put a nice little twist on it.
Oh, I thought I was in Louisiana or something. To just that heavy, swampy blues rock that Carmen and
they're professional Roger were throwing level down. Musicians who love to worship.
And how do you get A plus performance out of them?
They work really, really hard.
So I have 6 points here, and these were inspired. The topic was inspired by my man Colin, who's. Yeah. You know, wheels, and you don't understand to invent a carbon fiber wheel is just a miracle. And I mean, he's a genius. And so he's been, if you want to see those anywhere, check out the last of the Dodge muscle cars. They're on there. They're going to be on McLaren's.
Ooh, for real.
Ah.
So what's the muscle car called, the Dodge muscle car?
Do you had to ask. That's why I didn't say the exact name.
Well,
it's the Charger. The Challenger. Hellcat.
There we go.
The Dodge Hellcat.
By the way, before we get back into this, have you ever heard of visual agnosia?
Yes.
Yeah. But it's nothing like what I'm experiencing, is it? Isn't it something like literally a mental condition?
Well, that's what you're experiencing. it's just not
mental.
It's just not registering. You know?
Right. Okay. It wasn't that inaccurate.
No.
Yeah. Okay. I tried to make a connection and it was like a fourth quarter connection.
No, it was a good connection. You see that, you know, the keys are there in front of you and you physically see them, but it's not connecting with your mind. This is what you're searching for.
Sure. Okay.
And here are the disciples. They see the man in front of them.
Yeah.
They see the miracles, but it's not connecting that this is what they're looking for.
Right. Okay.
So no, it was a great analogy.
Okay. Got it.
So, yes.
All right, where are we coming back?
I don't know. Dodge Hellcat. Boy, I don't even know why we're talking about it now. Colin.
You were talking about Colin.
Colin inspired this. He had the question. How do you get A performance out of B and C employees?
Mm.
And there's an answer, but it was just a cool question to think about. And so I came up with 6 tips. Now, I'm a psychologist, and yes, I've studied different elements of, industrial and organizational psychology, how to bring psychology to corporations and things like that. And I've worked with a number of CEOs and business owners, division directors over the years with the issues they run into, military officers and leadership. And the question, how do you get A performance out of B and C employees, is a leadership question. And then if you're out there and you're not a leader, maybe you're one of the employees, then you just flip this around.
Sure.
So this is, you know, where you start, you know, on yourself. But six tips. First one is to hire for character.
Mm-hmm.
You can always train skills. You can't train character. And so just like in the NFL, they will draft for athletic potential a lot of times, even though they haven't demonstrated the specific skill sets, their raw talent. And that's what you want in your company, is you want people of good quality character, because it's your company, it's your baby, and the future of the company depends on them. And so you want that good character. You can always train for skills, but you cannot train for character.
Well, how often do you see a professional athlete who is just amazing and performs at such an incredible high level on the field, but everything off the field is a wreck? And that's what sidelines them. That's what takes them out, and how much that affects the whole team.
Right.
And so, yeah.
One bad apple.
And it's their character.
The character.
Yep.
And then that automatically leads to number two, which is to train continually. Train not only in their, you know, basic job skills to perform the job that they have to perform, and for, you know, higher educated people like engineers and attorneys, that, you know, CEUs, you go continually educate yourself and train in your profession, but train on things that rarely happen.
Sure.
When I was in the Navy, back in my day, when I was in the Navy, you know, there was a job I had to do on the ship, you know, punch the widgets. That's what I do. Punch the widgets all day long. But we did training on, you know, fighting fires. We did training on, you know, handling flooding in various parts of the ship. You train on the events that are rarely occurring. One, so you're prepared in the off chance something like that does occur. But then two, that instills a great deal of confidence that I can handle anything that might come my way.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of worrying about the bad thing happening, I train for the bad thing when it does happen.
Well, so Tish, take this as an official request to have you come back out and train us on the defib machine.
There you go. Never had somebody drop dead of a heart attack in your church, but
it's bound.
It would be great for, you know, 5, 6, 7 of the staff to be able to operate that defib machine in the off chance.
And keep that from happening.
Yeah. when you train for something, it don't happen.
Right.
A simple example out of the NFL that I, what's his name? Pat. Not Mahomes. The
McAfee.
The YouTube.
McAfee?
Yeah. He's a punter.
Mm-hmm.
He was, you know, in the NFL for about 10, 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about there was a special play they had put in for Pat McAfee. And that is if the football was inside the 4-yard line and on the left hash mark, it was an automatic. It would be a Pat McAfee, the punter who holds the snap for the kicker on 4th down, instead of kicking the field goal, it would be a sneak. The holder would sneak. He would take off, run for a touchdown. And he said they had that play in the playbook for 7 years and trained and practiced on it for 7 years before it finally occurred.
Mm.
And the crazy thing was, because they had all that training going on for it, when, you know, the whistle blew on 3rd down and they put the ball down on the 4-yard line on the left hash mark, everybody went, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Pat McAfee gets to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
But you train for things, whether they, you know, you think they're going to happen or not. That way you are prepared when they do happen. So, number one, hire for character. Number two, train continually and train for rare events and still preparedness in people. Number three, encourage and foster independent thinking and responsibility.
That's really good. Because it's so easy to just try to make everyone almost robotic, and this is where we're going, and this is who you got to be, And instead of really fostering their strengths and individually and getting them to perform based on who they are and who they're developing.
Well, and that's becoming, that's what I see you doing at the church a lot, is you'll encourage other people to take on programs, to develop different ideas and build those things on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the band, they're, you know, a good example. Like, this is the kind of music I want to hear. This is what I want to be seeing. You guys, you can handle it. And you encourage them to be independent in how they do it. You foster their responsibility for the music.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we have a very small but awesome staff. And if it were not for people who step up in volunteer roles and run with the ball and get things done, we wouldn't be able to have a small staff, and we wouldn't be able to afford to do the ministry that we do. So that's good. I like that.
Well, it's a great talking point. How do you do it? And so two ways to encourage and foster independent thinking and responsibility is, one, as the leader, assign goals, not tasks.
Gotcha. That's good.
So you say, I want to see this room.
Don't keep them down in the weeds.
You turn stuff over to them. You say, I want to see this room spotless, and you walk out.
Mm-hmm.
You don't stand there and say, pick that piece of lint up, sweep over there, put that away, put these papers in this order on that shelf. They're not doing any thinking now. They're just, as you mentioned earlier, being robotic. Whatever you say, do they do. And if you walk out, they don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
By encouraging independence and responsibility, you say to them, look, you know, field day this place, get it nice and clean. I'll be back in a little bit.
It would be super easy for me to be a micromanager. And there are times where I'll start to go that direction in something. And it's usually something real menial. Is that a word? Is that the right word?
That's the right word.
Like making pancakes for a group of 50 guys. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, well, do it this way. But then there's a few people around me that know me, and they say, hey, we got this. And then I know, okay, I got to back off. So, yeah.
When you put the pencil in the slot behind the pew, turn it.
Yeah.
Turn it this direction. So, yeah. And then another way to do it, ask them to figure out the solution to the problems.
Mm-hmm.
Say, hey, guys, this is what we're dealing with. This is creating a problem for us. Why don't you guys go work on it and come back with some ideas?
Yeah.
You give them the responsibility for the solution, and you give them independence to come up with ideas.
Yeah. My favorite type of individual is a problem solver.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love people who will bring not problems to me, but solutions. And if they bring solutions, then I know that they have been able to do something that I probably haven't or wouldn't be able to do. Like, you can tell me what the problem is, but let's immediately start going to, okay, so what can the solution be?
Sure.
Don't just tell me it's a problem and it is what it is.
Right.
So, yeah, that has gotten me to a place before where I've let people go where, the old me would have said I let them go too soon. But you know what? It's because I had to.
Encourage collaboration with others. We're still under encourage, foster independent thinking and responsibility. Assign goals, not tasks. Ask them to figure out solutions to problems. Encourage collaboration with others.
Mm-hmm.
And so you give them the responsibility for the situation. You encourage them to go find solutions. And you point them to resources. You know, somebody who used to work here, who worked in that department, somebody who else in another department who you've talked to, who has experience with that. You help them help themselves.
It's really good. Resource them.
Number four, foster positive relationships in the workspace. And you can do that because you want people to look forward to coming to work.
Yep.
You want people to look forward to coming in and spending their 8 hours of their day with you and in the building. So, you know, play a little bit.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I know a lot of supervisors and employers, they get upset when they see their employees having fun.
Why are you enjoying your life? Don't be enjoying your life.
Get back to work. Yeah. Can't work be fun? You know,
mm-hmm.
What's going on over there? What are you guys doing? They're suspicious because right. You're having a good day.
Yeah.
So encourage, play. Now, don't be, you know, throwing screwdrivers at each other or playing. We used to play practical jokes on the new guys, and we would have them grab hold of live wires.
Nice.
I'm laughing, but. You
know. That's good.
Hey, here, hold this.
Yeah, I need to do more of that. I need to do more of all these, but I want to do more. Just put it that way. One time I decided to get a microphone out and a speaker, and as each staff person came walking in the building into the office, I would start this music, and then I would, like they were walking onto the basketball court or something, I would announce their arrival, and it was a lot of fun. We recorded it.
And from North Carolina.
Yeah. 5'2", 280 pounds.
Don't put the name in. Don't put the name in.
Yeah.
But yeah, celebrate.
Yeah.
Have fun, play, celebrate.
Sure.
If, you know, somebody does something well, they get a project done, they wrap something up, Easter weekend, you knocked it out of the park, celebrate it.
Yep.
Celebrate their good work and accomplishments. And if you can, in some way, shape, or form, reward them.
Sure.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a dinner out or a gold watch, but you can create certificates.
Sure.
Little certificates that you give out when people accomplish things that, you know, I'm surprised at when I was in the Navy, how many people like framed of those things and put them on their wall that, you know, this command gave them a thank you for, you know, cleaning up trash outside the building. It's a nice little certificate suitable mm-hmm. for framing, and they would go frame it.
You know something
they're proud of that.
Absolutely. You know something that all of us can do, whether we're a leader or, you know, employee, whatever role we're in, we could all do a better job, especially these days, of writing the handwritten personal notes. Because it's so rare.
Oh, yeah.
So rare. But to see someone, and it's so rare, most of us don't want people to see our handwriting.
Right.
But just something simple, and that's also something that I want to do more of. But yeah, I'll write these to first-time guests and to different people from time to time in the church on Grace Point, you know, stationary. But it's that personal, when it's handwritten, it's another level.
Yes.
They know.
That's your hand. You touched that paper. Yep. You thought about it.
You took the time.
And they're now holding a piece of you.
And they know that you truly are appreciating them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As number five. So one was hire for character. 2, train continually. 3, encourage and foster independent thinking and responsibility. 4 was foster positive relationships in the workforce. 5, help employees achieve their personal goals.
Mm. That's really good.
So the employee comes to work, they do everything for you, they, you know, they're doing a great job, but on the weekends they're racing motorcycles. How can we help them achieve their goal of becoming a better dirt bike rider?
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if it's just going, announcing to the company, hey, Dave's going to be racing this weekend, you know, everybody come out and support him. Help him achieve his personal goals, because the whole reason people go to work is to support their personal life.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's always, you know, helps deepen and develop that relationship with somebody that if you show an interest in their personal life and beyond just the words, hey, that's great, how did the race go this weekend? That's nice. That's good. But what can you do? So if you, you know, do end up, you know, rewarding him for something that he did on a project, maybe that reward, you take 5 minutes to call his wife and say, what part does he need for his dirt bike? And you get him a special clutch handle. And here's your reward, but it's towards his personal stuff in his personal life.
Yep.
And so that just really helps foster that connection with the company and makes people want to work harder.
So remind me that I have a kind of an overarching comment when you're done. And I'm saying this out loud because sure enough, I'll forget.
Okay. I will ask for an overarching comment.
Very good. I mean, this is really good. This is all relationship stuff, but that's not the comment.
This is leadership stuff, isn't it?
It is.
This is a seminar you'd pay for, right?
Oh, heck yeah.
Hey, there's $1,000 right there. Number six, and you touched base on it earlier, remove underperformers.
Mm. Ooh, yeah.
And it's not, you know, cold-hearted bloodbath. You know, we're cutting off the deadwood around here, but if people are not getting with the program, if they're showing up late, they're not investing themselves in it, not only is their work performance suffering, so the company, the church, everybody's bottom line is suffering, the mission is suffering, but the other employees see that.
Mm-hmm.
They're working hard, this guy's not, and resentment start to build, not only towards that employee who's not working hard, but towards the leadership.
The leader, yep.
Who's not dealing with the issue.
Yep.
You know, I show up at 8 o'clock every day. He rolls in at 8:30. You never say nothing to him. So They start to get mad at you. Now you're trying to be a nice guy and trying to help the guy out, but it's starting to bring everybody down.
Yeah. Cause the majority of the time you're having to spend your time with that person who is underperforming, and all you're doing is continuing to bring the other people down to that level, the whole environment down to that level. So, yeah, it's hard to let people go. That's why they say hire slow and fire fast. But it's hard to let people go. But, man, there are times where it's necessary.
Ultimately, all of these steps is good for them.
Sure.
Including number six.
Yeah. That is a fact.
The best learning moment I had in my life when I was a junior in high school and I got arrested. That, you know, boom, you can't be doing that.
Yep.
Can't be doing that. I got fired from my job, got arrested, went before a judge, got screamed at, and, you know, changed the course of my life.
Yeah.
Literally changed the course of my life. Wow. Suffering the consequences of my underperformance, my bad behavior, that changed the course of my life. And Had they just handled it behind the scenes?
Sure.
You know, tried to talk with me, counsel me.
A little slap on the wrist,
you know. Just, you know what? Yeah, it would not have had any impact on me, let alone what it would have, you know, how it would have impacted the morale at the company. But it forced me to stop and think about what I was doing and how I was doing it. So even we dread firing somebody, but it's best for the company, and in reality it's best for them.
Yeah, because there's a reason that it's not working out,
right?
There are times where things just need to change.
Chris Carter,
for the good of everybody.
Chris Carter, he was a wide receiver, best wide receiver in the universe on Philadelphia Eagles, and I forget the name of the head coach at the time. Buddy Ryan. And Buddy Ryan, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, had Chris Carter 2 years, greatest wide receiver, 1,200 yard seasons, cut him, traded him to Minnesota. And the press would ask, why did you trade your best player? And Buddy Ryan's only comment ever to the public was, well, all he did was catch touchdowns. And nobody could figure it out. Nobody could understand. He went to Minnesota, had, you know, one of the greatest careers as a wide receiver ever, became a leader of men, very open with his spirituality, developed Randy Moss into who Randy Moss became, personally and professionally.
Wow.
and has gone on, you know, obviously television and some other leadership roles. But he explained the reason he cut me was because I was out running and gunning, doing drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And if he knew if I stayed in Philadelphia, I would be dead.
Wow.
And so he traded me to get me out of there, to get me out of that environment. And then he had the respect and dignity to never tell anybody why he traded me.
Mm, that's awesome.
And so the thing that turned Chris Carter's career around,
his life,
was getting fired.
Yeah, not just his career, but his life.
Exactly.
Wow.
So number six may sound hard, but ultimately it's the best thing you can do for the company and for yourself.
And for them.
And for them. That's what I meant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the overarching thought on this whole thing, how it can be approached, and it is all six of them, including number six, is if you go into, and man, you know, I always have this little catch if I feel like I'm saying something, like I'm not practicing what I'm preaching, but I just, so I'll do better. But walk in every day and desire, or into every situation, and desire to add value. That's what we're doing. As a leader, you are focused on adding value to the company, mm-hmm. or adding value to the organization, adding value to the people. And if you're doing these things right here, you are adding value. And you're either doing one of two things. It's not a static situation. You're either adding value or you're taking it away.
Sure.
And so if you're doing these things, you are adding value, which will increase the effectiveness of whatever it is, organization, company, church, whatever it is. And so add value. Value people. Value people over projects. If we focus on valuing people, the projects will take care of themselves. And so that's kind of the whole idea that I had.
That's great. And
hitting me with that.
And for the employees out there, because not everybody's a leader.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're an employee, if you're, you know, new to the company, new to the field, take these six and own them.
Absolutely.
Number one, develop your own character.
Yeah.
To be the person that's going to bring value to the company.
Yeah.
Number two.
Real quick. You say not everyone is a leader, but everyone is a leader. Because in the very least, we lead ourselves.
Sure.
And that may be the very most difficult and challenging leadership role to take, is to lead yourself well. That's character. And if you want your character to be developed, take on ownership of developing your character, and all of this stuff will do that.
Exactly. One of the things that, you know, burns my biscuit,
yeah,
one of my pet peeves, when somebody says they don't know how to do something.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed that about you.
Yeah. You've got a brain.
Yeah.
And there's books and there's the internet, you know. So number two, train continually. If you're going to take a job in this field, then take the initiative to learn how to do your damn job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Be responsible enough to learn how to do it.
You want to earn that paycheck. And so when the boss comes in and says, we need this done, don't go, well, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
Either already know or say, I'll go read a book. I'll go learn how to do it. I'll be back.
Solve.
Be independent. Walk in each day. Look around. What can I do? What can I contribute?
Yeah.
Even if it's picking up trash.
No task low enough.
None.
Nothing's below you. Just get it done.
And as a coworker, as an employee, what can you do to foster improved relationships with the people you work with?
Yep.
You can celebrate your coworkers, and you can help employees achieve things outside of work as easily as the boss can.
Yeah. You know, something so simple but so incredibly significant that we can do immediately. Like, it can start right now, today, when you walk into your home, when you walk into your work, when you walk into Walmart, wherever it is. One very simple thing that you can add value into the situation. Smile. Isn't it?
Yeah.
So simple. And yet, if you want to, you either going to bring some light in or you're going to bring some darkness in, and it's all over your face.
Sure.
Whichever one you're going to bring, it's right there. Change that. Let your face in on the party. And even if you're having to fake it, do it. Fake it.
Well, they say 80% of communication is nonverbal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, nowhere is that more obvious than when you initially meet with somebody. Mm-hmm. They walk up and before they're ever speaking, you're already having a reaction to them based on their facial expression, their body.
Yeah.
You know, the how their eyes are, they're crossed or their
yep.
the brow furrowed. So
yep.
before a word is ever said.
Yep.
And you walk into a room and smile, you see people just start gravitating towards you.
Yeah.
Because you are smiling.
It's magnetism.
Boom.
And so it just kills me. Oh, it just kills me. That's an over-exaggerated statement. It bothers me when people are constantly talking about how they went here and this person was rude. They went there and this person was just in a cranky mood. They said this to me. Then I guarantee you, a lot of it had to do with how you approached.
Oh, yeah.
How you, and even if you had to fake it, because what happens is when we fake it initially, it starts to become a default. And it starts to become something that we want to be because we see how it changes and affects our environments. I so rarely ever have people be rude to me because I usually try my very best to walk in with a smile on my face.
It's either that or it's because you're a giant.
Well, one or the other.
Like, don't piss him off.
Well,
he'll bring the hammer down on you.
Yeah. I just think that it's, again, it goes back to that whole thing. What are you focused on? If you want to find the negative, you're going to find it. If you want to find the positive, you're going to find it. What are you focused on? Well, if you're focusing on adding value, like I'm going to go into this situation. I'm going to go in the office today. I'm going to go in and I'm going to be positive. I'm going to be smiling and I'm going to bring some light. See what happens.
Exactly.
See what happens. And then shoot for these six things to get an A performance out of BNC employees. And they will become A employees.
Exactly. They may be a BNC employee right now, but with your leadership, they can become the A-plus employee.
Yep. It's not about who they are. It's about who they can become.
Exactly.
Yep.
And boom.
All of us. Boom.
Right there.
Ha-bada-bang.
That sounded like a boom.
Yes, sir. That was good stuff, Doc. Thank you.
Woo! Thank you, Mike. Pastor Mike, Dr. Parker, we are just these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, we are going to have a special episode brought to you by a listener.
Oh.
Who has sent in a script for us.
Nice. I like it.
And if you were smart enough to stick around to the end, you now have a preview of what's to come.
There you go. I like it.
Catch you next week.
Have an awesome week.